The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce is your source for business-to-business connection in Wallingford and North Haven. Since 1915, the Chamber has been serving your community with business promotion, networking opportunities, themed events, and a complete resource of business and organizational supports. Join the Chamber today. Call 203-269-9891 or go online at www.quincham.com. QUINNCHAM.com. The Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce. And welcome to another edition of the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast. I'm Executive Director Ray Andrewson, and we bring you these podcasts every other week to highlight a topic or an area of expertise, of concern from our many businesses, nonprofit organizations, service organizations, cultural organizations, and amenities that we have here in the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce serving Wallingford and North Haven. We begin the year thinking ahead in so many ways, time when people are trying to shed pounds, reevaluating aspects of their lives, going on an exercise program, making those New Year's resolutions. One resolution might be to consider your career and the transition inherent in that and how you might approach transitioning in your career at this point. From the Shegg Group, one of our members, we bring in the president of the Shegg Group to tell us a little bit about what it's like in terms of outplacement, changing your career, getting your career in gear and forward this year. Paul Mayer joins us. Paul, it's always good to be with you.
Good afternoon, Ray. Nice to see you.
And it is a new year, and we've sort of turned the corner from where we were in terms of hiring a couple of years ago. Workforce development has been such a big issue here in Connecticut. A lot of companies have been seeking out employees. And the unemployment rate is going steadily downward now, below 4% in that direction. Tighter job market, but now we're starting to see some transition in the workforce. Let's talk about right now what people might be thinking if they're reevaluating their career and figuring this is a time to, as you say, upgrade or downsize their expectations. What do you see in your line of work working with individuals that would be the major headlines coming into this new year?
Well, you know, you raise a number of very good points. I think the thing that we've seen time and time again over the last 6 to 8 months is that there are good jobs for good people out there, and the need for quality people to take on new assignments or to augment their career with another job is probably at some of the highest points we've seen in a long time. Companies are really looking for good people to come in and fill positions that might be brand new, or in fact, they have to fill because somebody else has retired or decided to move to Florida to get away from our winter months or whatever the case may be, maybe off of an illness and they're not going to be returning. So the skills that people have are very much in need. Now, sometimes they have to upgrade their skills a little bit and maybe get some refresher courses or to take a tutorial program online. But if you come with basic skills and a terrific attitude, which is so much sought after these days in the workplace, the chances of you getting a new job and finding that new opportunity are very, very strong. Connecticut is really pushing forward to make sure that good opportunities are continually posted on a variety of websites. And I think if people really take some time to say, okay, do I really like it where I am? Is this the job I want to spend my next 3, 5, 7, 10 years perhaps? Or am I concerned that with the economy, I might be losing my job? Now would be a good time to do some analysis and think, where might I like to look and where might I want to go? And is my resume up to date? And am I ready to make that switch?
So in the Shegg Group, what you do working with your clients is a one-on-one. You have group environment. You actually have sort of round tables, but you also do one-on-one counseling with individuals. Everybody has unique needs, Paul. So when someone sits down with you for the first time, walk through a little bit about the questions you ask of that individual who may be transitioning from one position, looking for another position.
Right. Well, what we try to do first is we like to get to know the person. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your family life, where you've been, your education, what you like to do, some of the hobbies. So we have a connection with you, and we try to share that same information about us, because relationship building is very important right from the very beginning. And we think if we get to know the person one-on-one, and even if it's a Zoom call one-on-one, that's still at least the way to start getting that relationship started. We then try to say, okay, what is it that you would really like to see in your next job? What are you looking for? And what do you bring to the party? What are the skills that you have to make you the person that I, as a new company, would want to hire, whether it's on a temporary basis that to begin with, or permanent to begin with, or a hybrid or a remote, whatever the case may be. What is it that you bring to my company that's going to help my company be not only short-term successful, but long-term, even more sustainability than I thought I might have? So you're seen as a resource for sure to come as a new employee, and what skills you bring are very important. But we're also seeing today that companies are changing their hiring mindset a bit. It's, if you don't have all the skills, that's probably okay these days, because not everybody can be all things to all companies. But if you have the right attitude and you show the right kind of sincerity and the ability to communicate well, that's going to make you a fit for the company that they're looking to fill. And they're willing to train you, and they know they can train you because they've done that in the past, but they can't change your attitude. And if it's uncooperative, not a team player attitude, the chances of finding that new opportunity might be slimmer than you'd like to admit.
So if you're coaching somebody and talking with them, I guess you're also examining their soft skills, their EQ, not mm-hmm. just their IQ and capacity. Skills are important, but if you are of good attitude and trainable, your prospects brighten considerably. How do you get that across if you're trying to be with people? I know networking, you encourage having a social network, a wider range of people you know that are going to be in your corner is so critical. But how do you get that across to your clients that they really need to be personable, engaged, and optimistic?
Yeah. Well, we encourage people to become good storytellers. So when you're asked a question, you don't just answer the question and say, yes, I did this and did that. You tell a story such as, I'm glad you asked me that question, because that's a project that I took on last year. And this is what I did with the project. And we really had a good time working on this project. And here is the outcome from what that project was. So not just saying, yes, I did that, but giving some of the results and some of the outcomes of what you did in that particular task. It gives you a chance to really show a sincerity, a knowledge about that process, and also your attitude will be coming through, because you're going to be talking about it in probably a very positive way, in a way which talked about what you were successful at. And even if there were things that went wrong during the project, you can talk about that to show that I understand when you make a mistake, you now fix it and make it better the next time. So being a storyteller, from the standpoint you start the story, tell the story, and then give the ending to the story, it's going to make the interviewer much more at ease. It's going to give them a better understanding as to what you really can do, and truly a sense of your professionalism along the way.
And there are some changes in the workforce, certainly in the last couple of years. We've heard about quiet quitting. We should actually probably define that as someone who does, I guess, correct me if I'm wrong, the minimal amount, their base level of work.
Right.
So it's someone who's perhaps not as emotionally engaged and is setting some very deep and strong boundaries against their employer in some respects. So if that's one part of a mentality, that doesn't probably transfer very well in terms of job searching, because someone is looking for someone to go the extra mile.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to set yourself up as a person that the company doesn't want to hire. You want to present yourself as a person the company really wants to hire. So if in the interview process you say, well, I'm really just looking for 40 hours a week, or I don't want to travel, or I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, the employer is looking for somebody that can do all the things that I've asked for and then some more. Because the quiet quitting, I think, is a result of what we've seen during the pandemic, where people can kind of choose where they want to work and when they want to work, and they've gotten accustomed to that. And many times that's appropriate for their lifestyle. They need to be that way. But keep in mind, the employer still has to get product out the door. They still have to make things happen and meet deadlines. And sometimes people are going to be asked to work a few extra hours, maybe on Saturday, come in for a special event, maybe work on another shift, whatever the case may be. And those are the people that display that work attitude early on. The company says, this is the person we want on site, because they're going to do that little bit extra not asking them to work double shifts. I'm not asking them to do things they can't do, but asking them when we need them, can they help us out and do a little bit extra for the company? And of course, be compensated for that.
So the role of empathy is important if you're in an interview process. That would mean understanding the interviewer, their needs, understanding the company needs. So empathy also incorporates doing research, knowing the company, but also in the interview process, asking questions of how you can be best suited to help that organization and the individual who's charged to actually hire you.
Yep, absolutely. I think you want to come across as, with a message that I can bring skills and abilities here to your company to make your company stronger. I've done that at previous employers, and you can give an example of that. And I'd like to do it here as well, because I really enjoy making a contribution to the company. I like being compensated fairly for that, but I realize it's a give and take situation. I just can't expect to be getting things. I need to give things in return, or maybe even in advance, to show in fact that I'm worthy of a promotion, maybe a pay raise or whatever bonuses there might be within the company. So it's a case of being empathetic to the company's needs, such that we have schedules to meet, we have tough customers to deal with, maybe we have some irate individuals that are not happy with us that we need to smooth over or change delivery dates, whatever the case may be. That's all because we want our company to be as strong as it can be and to be the company that customers want to come back to for continued business.
So you've laid out the idea that you have to be engaged, you have to be empathetic in this whole process. But of course, there are going to be limitations on that as well. So some of the key, tonality of an interview process and an engagement is you want to hit sort of that fine line. You don't want to be overbearing and over eager and in the inbox and emailing the interviewer every week. And yet you don't want to be disconnected. And the question I have for you is, how do you deal with when you don't hear anything back in the process? You have a great interview who hasn't had one and walked out, said, I think I aced the interview. And then for weeks, you don't hear anything. What do you do?
I guess the common terminology for that is ghosting, that you don't hear anything back. You did a great job. You did all the things you should. Maybe you met three or four or five people. Maybe even they showed you around the new place and showed you where your new workstation might be. And you leave saying, boy, I did great. All I'm just waiting for now is the offer letter and do whatever else they have for their pre-employment. And I'm ready to go. And then nothing. You hear crickets, as they say, or nothing. What did I do wrong? What happened? Where did I go wrong? And then you say, well, should I call them? Should I write them? What do I do? How do I engage with them once again? Well, first off, you never really know what's going on at the company. Maybe there's been illness. Maybe there's been something that's changed. Maybe there's been some emergency. And they have a good reason for not getting back to you because other things have taken a priority. But you still need to be in contact. So you wait a few days. If you have hopefully the email address of the person that you met with, drop them an email saying, I enjoyed meeting with you last Wednesday. A few days have passed now. Just wondering, next steps, anything more I can do? Or is there anything else you need from me to help me with my candidacy for this job? You don't want to be too pushy. But you don't want to be too lax either, because if you don't get back to them, they may, well, I guess he's really not interested, hasn't even followed up, hasn't sent me a thank you note or anything along those lines. When it goes out to another few weeks, maybe do the same thing again. And so it's been 2 weeks since we talked. I thought I might hear from you because when I left, things seemed to be very positive. Is there anything more I can offer to you or any other details? And then hopefully you get some answers from there. But we've had situations where people honestly have felt that they had the job and they went home and told their family, this is it. I'm really ready to go. And nothing ever happens after that. I can't explain it. I don't know why. I've been on the receiving end of that myself in years gone by. It's frustrating. It's annoying. It's all those things. But it does happen. Maybe the only thing you can do is say, okay, well, I'll just write that one off and go on to the next opportunity, because you just have to keep the process going.
Yeah, I once read where in terms of engagement and in the process and standing out and making sure that you can get someone's attention in the organization, that you hit that fine line of being able to communicate, but not being a pain about it. And yet, you know, obviously not disconnecting. Let's talk about a little bit about just different ways to apply for a job. You know, the old way, of course, is there's that, and I'm going back quite a while, as we know, we're just applying to the ad. You know, the place, then it became more of an electronic ad driven. And now we have those hidden jobs that are there, but they're just not published, as it were. So how do you find those hidden positions? I would imagine it's creating a network and a communication stream so that people in your corner will hear what's going on within these organizations, as opposed to standing back and just waiting for it to become public.
Yeah, I've not met many people who are sitting at home waiting for somebody to ring the doorbell and say, hey, are you looking for a job? I got a job. You have to be visible out there. And we have a kind of an old phrase that we use, and the difference between networking and not working is one letter. And if you're not networking, you're probably not going to be working, because networking, time and time again, is the way jobs are found. There's some surveys that say 80% of the jobs today are being filled by networking. The recruiters do a fine job, and online applications do a fine job. But unless you're letting the world know that you're looking for a job, the search is probably going to last longer. And you're probably not going to be happy along that time, because it's going to take that much more time. So our key is to anybody you can tell that you're looking for a new opportunity, that's a person you should talk to. If you meet them at the store or at church or the synagogue or walking down the street or wherever, just strike up a conversation, because you never know who knows somebody that might know of that job that's perfect for you. And if you don't have that opportunity, well, maybe you have to make those opportunities by becoming a volunteer, by supporting an organization that needs some help. Because, again, there are people also volunteering there who might have contacts, have relatives, have friends, who have former employers they worked for, who might know where those opportunities are for you. You're not asking those people for a job. You're asking them for advice and their thoughts as to where I might look for a job, because I was just impacted by a layoff with fellow employees, and I'm looking for new work. So I'm just trying to get some thoughts as to where I might apply. And it's always amazing to me how many people come back and say, I got this lead from somebody I was talking to at the grocery store, and they have a contact that I'm going to follow up with them. And many times those become real jobs, if not a job, at least an interview. And that interview then takes it forward.
So I'd like to ask you about different entrees, different entrance points, different ways, lanes to get inside of a company. Perhaps you'd like to work in a company, you've been targeting that company for a while. If you're in an existing position, another organization, ask yourself, Paul, about if it's a good idea to actually take a temp job and hoping it becomes permanent, or if you're unemployed, to take a temp job hoping it becomes permanent. Yeah. I guess there are two ways to look at this.
Well, a temp job used to be, well, I'll just do that and see what happens. Many companies are using temp jobs now as a way to take somebody for a little bit of a test drive to see if they really do have the skills and the ability to do the work. It gives you a chance to prove yourself. It gives you a chance to show that company, gee, if you're really ever thinking to make this a permanent job, you've got somebody here right now who can do it, has the skill, has the attitude, has the desire, and you don't have to look any further. Here I am. Also, a temp job on your resume gives you an opportunity to fill in 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year with something on there, so that prospective employers can see that you were active during that time. And while you were working, not only were you earning money for yourself, helping the company, but you were learning, because there might be some new things that you didn't have on your resume that now you've learned at another company. We encourage people to present themselves really as a lifetime learner, that they're always growing. And regardless of age, we're always learning something new each and every day. And each opportunity, each job we have, is a place for us to learn and grow. So temporary jobs, I think, are very valuable in a variety of ways. You don't have to stay if you don't like it, but at least you were doing something, and now you know that's off your list. You don't want to do that again.
So we just have a couple of minutes left, Paul Mayer, and I want to talk about not only older workers in terms of the challenges, perhaps if you're 50, 60 years old in the workplace, or younger emerging workers, but your advice to someone who is 60 or in career transition, what would you tell them?
I would tell them not to use their senior age against themselves. Utilize it in your favor. Because you've gotten this far in life and you've done some very good things, whatever that might be, whatever career you're in, and realize that that experience you have can't be duplicated by somebody who is half your age, because they haven't been on the face of the earth that long. You've been here experiencing, doing, making things happen, learning, growing, doing a variety of things that other people can't. Now, maybe your technology is not as up to date as others, but you can change that. There are courses available through the state of Connecticut, through the university systems, the college level, courses that are available now are just terrific. And if you know that you're lacking in Excel or PowerPoint or something else, go take the course. And then you're going to be as competitive and probably more competitive as a candidate, because older candidates bring maturity, awareness, skills, dedication, and the ability to understand how important it is to follow the guidelines of the company. We run into young people in a process that we see regularly, that they're leaving their job because the company said, you know, you're not doing what we need. Oh, I'm doing everything. But they want to do it on their terms and not on the company's terms. And as skillful as you might be, the company still holds the major force that they like to have it done their way. If you got some skills and abilities that you think should be doing something different, that's great. But do it the way the company wants first, and then say, and by the way, you know, we might want to try this next time around because I've done some research and we might be able to do it faster, quicker, better, whatever the case may be. But use your maturity and your age to your advantage, not to your disadvantage, and never be ashamed of your age. You've worked hard to be here, and at least we're here to talk about it. Now utilize it and say that the company that does get me as an older employee has really hit the jackpot, because I understand the things like coming to work every day, staying all day, not taking extra breaks or extra lunch periods, because that's the way I've grown up and that's my work ethic, and I do it differently than other generations who might see it differently.
So we just have another minute left. Paul, obviously on the Shea Group website, you've got information as well. And in terms of this information that we've been sharing with your expertise here to our listeners in this podcast, if you were to just sort of condense it into a couple of sentences and talk to everyone in the most universal way, how they can stay the best prepared to advance in their career with success, what would you tell them?
I would say make sure that you're as up to date as you can be in your particular field, whether it be accounting or marketing or sales or IT or human resources. Learn, be a member of the professional organizations that are in your area. And if you can join the Mechanical Engineering Society or the Electrical Engineering Society or the IT, whatever it is, because that's where you're going to be rubbing elbows with the practitioners and the people that are doing the work on a regular basis. Stay current. Yeah, it costs a few bucks to be a member of these associations, but it's money well spent, because it's not as much of a cost as it is an investment in your future skills and abilities that's going to help you know people and be networked into those other professionals. Because many times professionals know about jobs even before the recruiters or the job boards know. And if you know the people that are working in that field, they want to recommend you to their company because they know you're a good person, you're a fellow society member, and you're a person that could help our company be even stronger.
Paul Mayer is president of the Shake Group, based in Shelton. It's a veteran-owned company. We'd like to let you know. And the number is 203-645-6070. Of course, on social media, and Shake Group, S-C-H-E-G-G, group.com. Paul Mayer, we always learn something when you talk to us about our careers and how we can evolve and be successful. Thank you for being on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I greatly appreciate it, Ray. Thanks.
If you, as a member, would like to be a guest on the Quinnipiac Chamber of Commerce podcast, please contact Executive Director Ray Andrewson at 203-269-9891. Email randrewson@quincham.com. That's randrewson@quincham.com.